Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Check us out on Twitter at Radio Detectives and follow us on Instagram, instagram.com/greatdetectives. Today's program is brought to you in part by the financial support of our listeners. You can support the show on a one-time basis using the Zelle app to box13@greatdetectives.net. And you can also become one of our ongoing Patreon supporters for as little as $2 per month. Just go to patreon.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it is time for this week's episode of The Man Called X. The original air date, March 18th, 1952, and the title is Tanganyika.
Transcribed.
Listen to Herbert Marshall as The Man Called X. Wherever there is mystery, adventure, intrigue, in all the strange and dangerous places of the world, there you will find The Man Called X. It began in a modern hotel room in the city of Dar es Salaam, capital of the Tanganyika territory. And it ended deep in the primeval shadows of an African jungle when the mingled screams of beast and man put an end to the story of primitive terror.
Moldova welcome you once again to Dar es Salaam, Bwana Thurston. It was most kind of you to come.
I got your message in Cape Town and took the next plane out. What seems to be the trouble, Moldavo?
Moldavo is Bantu chieftain who tried to make his people civilized, to bring them peace, health, education, God.
And you've done it. The outside world is filled with people not half as civilized as yours.
All this is no good, Bwana, if the work comes to an end.
Why should it? You've a son to carry on when you leave off?
Moldavo's son is dead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It is not for sorrow, Bwana. He caused some of my people to drop the good book and pick up guns, crying to them to burn, to kill, to drive the white devil out of Tanganyika.
So that's it. They're spreading their propaganda poison here, too. Like they did in China, Korea, and the rest. How did your people get those guns? Who's been egging them on?
Well, Tavo do not know. You know only that when his son was killed, he was carrying this.
Huh? A statuette of an elephant. Carved out of, what is this, some brilliant blue stone.
It is so. That same blue elephant appear whenever there is violence. It is worshipped by those of my people who now carry guns. They say it trumpets in the night, calling for white man's blood.
I see.
That is why Moldavo call upon his good friend. Why Moldavo ask for help for his people.
All right, Moldavo. I'll see what I can do.
But it doesn't make sense, Ken. Wasting your time on some minor African uprising? You've got more important things to do.
Chief, of all the metals vital to our defense effort, which one would you say we need the most of right now?
Oh, that's easy. Cobalt. Every jet engine, every anti-tank shell needs cobalt. But what's that got to do with Tanganyika and blue elephants?
The little statuette Moldavo gave me is carved out of pure cobalt oxide. The finest grade of ore I've ever seen.
Oh, but that's impossible, Ken. There's no cobalt in Tanganyika. Or at least we don't know of any.
Well, if there is cobalt here, and it's being mined, and Uncle Sam doesn't know anything about it, well, stirring up trouble with Moldavo's people could make a pretty good smokescreen.
Yeah.
Well, Chief?
Let me know how you come out, Ken.
Mm.
absolutely certain of your facts, Sir Robert?
Of course I am, Mr. Thurston. As Commissioner of the Port, I can assure you that there is not 1 ounce of cobalt in all Tanganyika. No, Mr. Thurston, your theory about the native unrest simply will not hold water. Why not prove it for yourself? Be a weekend guest at my plantation near Kairobi. It's in the heart of the trouble area.
Thanks, I will.
There's a train leaving this afternoon. I'll have my niece, Jean Thompson, meet you at the station. And I'll fly in later and join you.
That sounds good. By the way, Sir Robert, your plantation must be near some mineral deposits, isn't it?
That's right. There's a mining district nearby. What made you ask?
Paperweight on your desk.
Eh? Paperweight?
Yeah. This piece of mineral ore. Beautiful blue coloring. If you hadn't told me differently, I'd almost think it was cobalt oxide. I'll see you at your plantation, Sir Robert.
Robert asked me to visit the plantation at a rather inopportune time, Mr. Thurston.
Why is that, Miss Thompson?
We've been having some difficulty with a Bantu tribesman. These jungles are pretty dangerous at the moment.
Yes, I have noticed the gun you're wearing.
When we've killed enough of those beggars, they'll see the light and settle down again.
You make it all sound pretty direct and primitive.
Life out here is direct and primitive. It's a lesson you'd better learn if you care to survive.
A threat, Miss Thompson?
Friendly advice. And I would suggest...
Pull off the road. Off the road.
Thanks for grabbing the wheel, Ken. I'm afraid I was rather frozen with surprise for a moment.
I suppose we get out of here before our trigger-happy friend checks up on the results.
Yes, that might be a possibility.
Listen.
Yes. Come in this way.
Over here.
Here. This brush will keep us hidden. That's far enough.
Get his gun, Ken. I have him covered.
His gun? Covered, but... Well, hello, Mr. Thurston.
Oh, for Pagar.
Oh, that's right, Mr. Thurston.
What the devil are you doing here, and with that elephant gun?
What a question. I'm hunting blue elephants, Natch. That's right, Mr. Thurston. After I bumped into Motawa and told him where he could reach you, I came out here.
Hunting for blue elephants. Or waiting for me to show up so you could chisel a few bucks.
Well, you know how it is.
Yes.
I'm afraid that I don't. Who fired those shots if you didn't?
Who knows? Somebody always shooting at him. Bullets go for him like honey goes to magnets.
I'll try to figure that one out later. But at least we've arrived at the plantation without any permanent damage.
Hey, what happened to the windshield of this crate, Jean? Flying too low and run into a flock of buzzards?
It was a buzzard, all right. The human kind, George, was something like a .375 Magnum Winchester, loaded for elephant.
You're kidding.
You wouldn't have thought so if you'd been along with us. Oh, George, this is Ken Thurston. Ken? George Gilmore, one of our neighbors.
And I'm Mr. Pagan's uncle.
Hello, Gilmore.
Glad to know you, Thurston. Say, you must be the man with the cobalt theory.
What do you know about it?
Only what Sir Robert told me.
Uncle Robert? Is he here?
No, but he radioed in from his plane, left a message for Thurston.
What was it?
He said for you to hold onto your hat until he gets here. He found something that proves your theory. You were right about the cobalt oxide. So that's your theory about this Bantu business, Thurston. You think it's a cover-up for a cobalt play of some kind?
That's about it, Gilmore.
That's ridiculous. There's no cobalt in Tanganyika. You're a mineralogist, George. You should know that.
Well, I do, Jean. Or I did, until Thurston showed me this. But this blue elephant is pure cobalt oxide and nothing else but...
That doesn't prove a thing.
Why not let the man who knows settle the argument for us? Sounds like Sir Robert's coming in now.
Yeah, you're right.
It's pretty dark out. How are the landing lights on the strip?
More than adequate. There. See the strip?
Yes. And there's something wrong with those lights.
Wrong?
Oh, look at the end of the strip. Don't those lights run right into the grove of palm trees?
Holy smoke, you're right. If he follows him, he'll overshoot the field and land right in the middle of it.
Pull her up, Sir Robert!
He's being seized! He is pulling up! He'll make it! He's got to make
close enough. We can't help it now.
What a terrible way to die. In a horrible accident like that.
Jean, it was murder.
Murder?
Yeah.
The landing lights?
Some auxiliary lights must have been deliberately misplaced to cause that crash.
But why would anyone want to do such a thing?
Stop him from telling me what he'd learned about Cobalt.
Guessing, Thurston?
I might be if it wasn't for this. Found it lying back there on the runway.
Ken! That thing!
Yes. Another blue elephant.
We'll return to the man called X in just a moment. Friends, there's no way of making an appeal to tornadoes. I can only appeal to you. Tornadoes, which recently swept through six southern states, hospitalized 696, affected 2,433 families, destroyed 1,007 homes, and damaged 1,348 homes. The Red Cross has made an initial allocation of $1 million for immediate emergency relief, and that is just the beginning. So great is the need that your Red Cross has increased its $85 million fund goal by $5 million. So, give the hand of the good neighbor. Answer the call and give generously through your American Red Cross. Now, Act Two of The Man Called X, starring Herbert Marshall, with Leon Belasco as Pagan Zellschmidt. Deep in the primitive jungles of the Tanganyika territory, renegade Bantu warriors are taking up arms against the white plantation owners. And Ken Thurston believes it's a deliberate screen for some kind of illegal traffic in one of the most vital of all defense metals, cobalt. And then, Sir Robert Morstan is murdered in a crash landing shortly after he'd radioed that he could prove Ken's theory.
The Bantu. They killed him. They want to take these plantations away from us by force. They killed him. Cobalt had nothing to do with it.
I'm afraid that cobalt elephant I found on the runway says differently, Jean.
No! The Bantus murdered him. And I'll kill the ones who did it. You hear me? I'll kill them.
Easy, Jean, easy. What you need right now is a good night's sleep.
Sleep? After what just happened? If you were even half a man, you'd take this gun away from me and go out after those filthy killers. Oh,
please, Jean, try to calm down.
A tooth for a tooth, that's the law of the jungle. Only you wouldn't know about that, would you? All you care about is grubbing in that no-good silver mine of yours.
All right, Jean, all right. Now, let's get back to the house.
I didn't know your business was silver mining, Gilmore.
That's right. I got a little mine on the railway spur about 10 miles east of here. And I know what you're thinking. Cobalt and silver are usually found together.
Well?
I only wish it were true. If you're getting rich instead of starving to death on the low-grade ore I'm shipping out...
Buona Thurston.
That you, Motavo?
Motavo.
I have things to talk about with you. I would like
to... Motavo! He's the Bantu leader. He's the one who murdered my uncle. Now it's my turn.
Put down the gun, Jean.
I'll kill him! You hear me? I'll kill him!
Let's have it.
No! No, give it back! I've got to kill him! I've got it.
Watch it, Gilmore.
I got her. That poor kid. It's no wonder after what she's been through.
Yes. Can you get her back to the house?
Yeah, sure. You two can talk. I'll take care of her, all right.
Sorry, Montalvo. She's pretty upset. She didn't know what she was doing.
I do not think so, Buono. I think White Lady tried to kill me because I know.
Because you know what?
She is one who gives guns to the Bantu so they can kill her own people.
The boxes?
Yes, Buona. They come from Dar es Salaam on railroad today.
The labels say farm machinery, addressed to Miss Jean Thompson, Morstrom Plantations, Kairobi.
The lid is free on this one.
Rifles, grenades, submachine guns.
It is so. The white lady bring guns to my people. She has caused them to forget the way of peace. She's killed my son.
Wait.
Someone is coming.
Quiet now. All right, hold it.
Dad, don't you?
Oh, fuck. It is the strange one again.
Strange one? How do you like that? The only thing strange is why Mr. Thurston keeps on jumping out at me all the time.
All right, Pagon. Why'd you ship those guns here in Jean Thompson's name?
Who shipped what guns in whose name? And I didn't have nothing positively to do with it.
Why not? This one, he shipped those guns?
Sure. I couldn't miss the handwriting on those labels.
It's forgery, Mr. Rex. I swear it by father and my father. And besides, they don't really belong to me. I only got them on consignment. It's a sort.
What?
No, well, sure. When Multava told me somebody was shipping guns up here, I figured I might go get into the act. So I sent this stuff here and charged it to that Gene Thompson cookie.
So you would have my people kill and be killed. So you could reap a harvest of gold.
Yes. No. I didn't want nobody killed. I only wanted to make a fast couple of bucks. Mr. X, please.
It's all right, Montavo. No harm's been done. We'll see if this stuff is sent back.
The strange one should be punished, Buona.
Don't worry, he will be. He's going to work.
Oh, sure, don't worry. I will be. I'm going to work?
Yes. Looking for cobalt in a silver mine.
Longer do we have to stay down here, Mr. Rex? That George Gilmer could shoot us for trespassing on private mines or something.
Take it easy, Pedro. We're not doing any damage.
But we've been down here a couple of hours already. What are you looking for anyways?
Oh, not what I've been finding.
What's that?
Low-grade silver ore, just what Gilmer said he'd been shipping out of here. Come on.
Hey, you're going the wrong way.
It's an old-fashioned abandoned shaft back this way. I wanted to take one last look at it before we...
Watch it!
I told you that Gilbert would shoot us or something. Let's get out of here, Mr. Red.
Not before I find out who it is. All right, Pagon. You can open your eyes now.
Oh, Mr. X.
Yes.
Oh, but it can't be. He's already dead. Burned up in that airplane crash.
Then he died twice. Yes. Sir Robert Morstrom.
I'm sorry, Ken, but I just don't grasp it. How could my uncle be dead in George's mine when we saw him die in that plane crash?
Simple, Jean. He wasn't in that plane.
You think his pilot flew it in here alone after dropping Sir Robert off at my silver mine?
It's the only explanation that makes sense.
But why should Uncle Robert want to visit George's mine at that hour?
Well, that's pretty obvious. He was looking for proof to bolster Thurston's cobalt theory. Apparently, they both suspected I was mining this stuff.
Then why did you kill him, Ken?
Sir Robert had been dead at least an hour before we found him. Someone else fired those shots in the mine.
Any idea who it was?
I found a gun beside the body. This one. Recognize it, Jean?
Well, of course. It's mine. But I didn't kill my uncle or fire any shots at you. I swear, Ken.
Maybe the authorities at Dar es Salaam will believe you.
The authorities?
There's a train leaving in an hour. I think you'd better be aboard.
Well, I guess we got this one all washed up. Hey, Mr. X?
Not quite, Prego.
But you already turned over the Gene Thompson to the Flatfoots. What else is there to worry about?
A little matter of cobalt.
Huh?
Here's the ship. The Abdul Akbar.
So it's a ship. So what?
So she's taking on a load of silver ore. Look up there.
Hey. Hey, look at that. That railroad car is filled with rocks. And it's tipping over us.
It's supposed to tip like that.
It is? Hey, that's right. That guy pulled the tegamajig and the whole thing tips over.
Yes. And the ore rolls down that metal chute into the ship's hold.
Pretty classy stuff, eh, Mr. X? Whatever will they think of next?
Suppose we find out.
Hmm?
By paying a little visit to the hold of the Abdul Akbar.
Boy, look at all that stuff, Mr. X. Must be enough silver in here to build a clean suit.
It's plenty valuable, all right, but it's not silver. Cobalt oxide.
But you say they were unloading silver ore.
That's the way they clear those ore cars for export, yes. And there was silver ore on the top layer of those cars, but all the rest of the load was cobalt oxide. That's how they've been getting it out of Tanganyika, shipping it behind the Iron Curtain.
And to think that sweet little sugar plum, Gene Thompson, was behind all that.
She didn't have anything to do with it.
She didn't? But you tossed her in the clink.
That was a cover-up. Give us time to get the goods on the one really responsible. And it worked. Didn't it, Gilmore?
Gilmore?
Not quite, Thurston. You won't live long enough to prove anything.
All right, that ore car.
Get out of there. Get out.
No! Don't jump that car. Get out of there.
He told this man not to dump any more cars.
Look up there. Up the control lever.
Mr. X, it's Motaba.
Yes. The law of the jungle, Pagan. A tooth for a tooth. But when you come right down to it, take a look at Gilmore and then a look at Motaba and... Oh, well, it's not too tough to know which one is really civilized.
And now, here's our star, Mr. Herbert Marshall.
Thanks for being with us. And my thanks to Doreen Tuttle, Will Wright, Dan O'Herlihy, Paul Fries, and Harry Bartell. Next week, a maverick steer, a bottle of germ culture, and a sultry brunette plunged Tim Thurston into a situation that can mean only one thing. Death. That might mean death for you. And for once, there'll be help from Pagan Zellschmidt, alias Leon Belasco. So join us, won't you, when next I return as the man called X. Good night.
The Man Called X, starring Herbert Marshall, is a J. Richard Kennedy production with music by Milton Charles. Tonight's transcribed story was written by Sidney Marshall. This program is directed by Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents on this program are fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. And now, until next week, same time and station, this is Hal Gibney saying good night for The Man Called X.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Welcome back. I actually wondered if this was a real place the episode was set in. Because The Man Called X uses, real countries and locations, but I'd never heard of it. Well, it turns out Tanganyika actually declared independence in 1961 from the UK and remained a separate republic for 3 years, and then merged with Zanzibar to form the modern state of Tanzania. One thing I will say about the episode is that the portrayal of the niece was uncharacteristically over the top. And I'm not certain the reason for it. It seemed like the type of thing you might expect in terms of overdramatic performance that you'd get from something like Mr. Keene. I wouldn't blame Lorraine Tuttle because she's a fine actress. And I don't really want to blame Jack Johnstone, you know, who I think the second place you look for is the director. And Jack Johnstone, who would, you know, just in a few years do the Bob Bailey, Johnny Dollar. But somehow or another, I think this particular take was just a little bit off. All right, well, I do want to go ahead and thank our Patreon supporter of the day. Thank you to Robert, Patreon supporter since August of 2016, currently supporting the program at the Detective Sergeant level of $7.14 or more per month. Thank you so much for your support, Robert. Well, that will do it for today. If you are enjoying this podcast, please rate and review it wherever you download your podcast from. We'll be back next Wednesday with another episode of The Man Called X. But coming up tomorrow, let's check in on Philo Vance, where...
Oh, please, Nate, you know you have to leave. It's after 9 o'clock.
Isn't it a funny thing about time, honey? It goes so fast sometimes and so slow other times, huh?
Ha ha, sure. And now, come on, I'll help you with your coat.
Well, what's the hurry, Dawn? What's with this Russian act? What have I got, the measles or something? Well, what have you got, a date or something with some other guy?
Oh, Nate.
Now, look. I'm not the kind of a character who thinks my baby will cross me. She wouldn't do that. Would she, baby? She's too smart. Ain't she, baby?
Uh-huh.
I'll be seeing you, baby. Mm. Bye.
Oh.
Dawn.
Stuart, where...
Heard you and Nate talking, so I came in the back way and waited until he left.
Oh.
Good thing you didn't catch me walking in here. It's all I'd need.
What's the matter, Stuart? Something else wrong?
Oh, yes, yes. The market, Dawn. Started to bend in the last hour. Afraid it's going to crack at the opening tomorrow.
Is White Willow down?
2 points. That's White Willow that's got me worried. George Roy says he went broke on that stock, and that it's my fault. Looked like he was desperate.
Oh, forget about Leroy, darling. And listen to me. It's Nate. I have an idea he knows about you.
What? How could he?
Well, don't ask me. Only Nate has a way of finding things out in this town. He's got a finger in every racket and a finger man on practically every block.
What makes you think he knows about me?
Oh, just a couple of things he said, that's all. Nothing definite. Nate never says anything definite, just a few hints. Enough to worry me, I'll tell you that.
Enough to worry you? Well, what about me? Nate Amigo knows that I'm seeing his girl. I'm really in trouble.
Oh, darling, don't you think I'm worth a little trouble?
Oh, yes, yes, of course you are. Listen, maybe it'd be better if we didn't see each other for a while.
Well,
maybe I ought to take a little trip somewhere. For my health.
Oh, but your health is wonderful, darling.
Yes, it is now. But there's no telling how long it'll stay that way.
I hope you'll be with us then. In the meantime, do send your comments to box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.